This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle. I'm just listing some of the insurance needs all of us have. In one way or another, I mean, we need some sort of insurance. And most times, it is because we have a multitude of insurance needs. And you need somebody to organize it for you, make sure you're fully insured, make sure you're getting the best prices possible, maybe it save you money wherever they can. That's Purdy Insurance. The pros, it's great people or even better professionals. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Hello, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So,
caught up from the weekend?
Well, I didn't do... Normally, I take Sunday... And I get ready for the next game. I didn't do any of that yesterday. I did run off stuff I need for the Wisconsin game, which is going to be a night game, by the way. It's going to be at 7:30 on NBC. So prime time in Madison, which we were told. After the game that was a distinct possibility. So I wasn't surprised by the 7:30 part on NBC because we were told after the game that was a distinct possibility. So I didn't do much of anything with that yesterday. It was going to see my grandson play soccer. Then my granddaughter had a birthday on Friday, so we had the party for her yesterday. So, I mean, I did that. Today, I got some baseball stuff done, believe it or not, and picked up leaves on my lawn and then cut the lawn. So, I mean, I've done that today. Now, that stuff's out of the way. Now I'll start working on Wisconsin tonight. So, get to that point. You know, that way I get a head start on them. So, that's the deal. No big deal. Not exciting.
You had all the excitement you could handle on Saturday.
Yeah. They fall behind 17-3 in the day. And I don't think people realize that after it was 17-3, Penn State actually outscored USC 30-13 the rest of the way. So, you know, I know everybody talks about fast starts. It's not as if Penn State started slow. They drove down the field, actually scored a touchdown their first drive. But then it was, you know, then the penalty was called at the end zone. Yeah, it's one of those borderline things. You know, so they hadn't settled for three. And remember, they stopped USC in their first drive. So it wasn't like they started slow. But, yeah. All right, I know we have Matt coming up. He was the guy that Nick Sirianni was yelling at yesterday after the game. We'll hear from him in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKFK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
PurdyInsurance.com. It's come in handy in this segment because all of us need Purdy Insurance after we listen to Matt. What? Bad intro?
Well, I could tell you somebody else that can use Purdy Insurance right about now.
Your guy, Nick Sirianni.
That is correct, but we're changing his name now to Nick the Clown. And on top of that, Steve, you know, I've got the Hall of Stinkers, which he's already been inducted into. I've got the dope category. But because of Nick Sirianni, I'm going to add a new category now and put him in it. It's called the clown category, and that's exactly where Nick Sirianni is going because that's exactly what he acted like. That was a total clown show from the beat during the game to how he handled himself yet again in a post-game press conference afterward with a little bit of cowardness in him as well. I mean, it wasn't just with the fan base. It was talking trash to Browns quarterback Greg Newsome after that Devontae Smith completion earlier in the game that I did think was pass interference, but you still don't act like that either. So this guy is an absolute mess right now. The shaved head thing looks like he just came out of jail for 2 weeks. I mean, this guy is an absolute mess right now and should not be leading a football team. I'm sorry.
I didn't see a single second of the game, so I don't know what he did. I know it's 2 weeks in a row where he's chirped at fans. That part I do know.
Yeah, I mean, but this time, this is the first time, though, it's been with the home team, with the home fans. He's chirped at visiting fans plenty of times, which is also unprofessional. But he's officially hit rock bottom now that you're actually chirping at your own fan base. It's one thing if you beat Cleveland Browns, which are just horrible beyond belief, if you beat them like 40-0, which could have been the case early in the game if the Eagles would learn to execute, which usually falls on the head coach. But you won 20-16, you barely hang on against a team that stinks out loud, and then you're acting like you just won the Super Bowl. Enough! You know what you need to do? Get this team fixed and get yourself fixed, first of all, because you officially look like you have no idea what your role is or what you're even doing on this team right now.
You don't seem happy.
I mean, he's already had a few final straws with me. And honestly, I wasn't surprised about any of this that we saw during the game yesterday and after the game yesterday. I'm not surprised by it. Nobody should be surprised by this guy anymore. Because, yes, this guy is a total clown show, plain and simple. And when you officially now are at rock bottom because you're going off against the fans and you give this the same lazy excuse that players and coaches have said before, it doesn't help anybody by booing us during our home games. Well, I'm paying good hard money to be there at the game, and if you stink out loud against a team that you should be beating soundly, and a season where you had pretty high expectations despite what happened last year because of the amount of talent you've got on the team, especially on the offense, which is your MO, all the changes you made this offseason, all the promises you made, and you can't handle me booing? I'm sorry. Get out. This is not only just Philadelphia in a big market. This is the NFL. Fans are going to boo if you stink up the place. Get over it or get out. Plain and simple. Don't tell me how I should behave at a game that I pay good hard money for. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Even when they were going to the Super Bowl, can you name a person that actually didn't buy into Nick Sirianni?
Well, you for one are one of them.
There we go. Thank you so much.
One to see through.
Thank you so much. It's not like I haven't seen a few in my lifetime.
That's very true.
So, you can see through certain people along the way.
I mean, doing that to your fan base to me is a fireable offense right off the bat. Now, if Jeffrey Lurie was going to make a move, it would have been right after the game or sometime early this morning. It didn't happen, so it looks like this guy's got his job somehow. I haven't seen his day after press conference yet to see if maybe he had some sort of apology, but I haven't seen anything come that of the sort. But even that, this guy's in a very, very bad way right now that should not be leading a football team. And he's now, you can tell that he doesn't really know what he's doing because now he's trying to listen to his players as, what do you want from me? And they said, get back to the way you were in 2022. We're going back to that cycle again. And then he acts like that. You didn't even act like that in 2022. I mean, somewhat, I guess. You would chirp with some away fans, but you weren't chirping with your home fans, and you weren't acting like an arrogant person to the media at all in 2022. So this guy literally has no clue what he's doing week in and week out.
So you've lost confidence?
I think it's safe to say at this point. Here's what I would have done if I were Jeffrey Lurie at the bye week. I would have given Nick the pink slip, obviously, and I would have given it to Vic Fangio because, now, all well be it, I don't think he's had a great year either. I wasn't a big fan of the hire to begin with on defensive front. I just don't like that type of that bend but don't break type of defensive scheme. I think that whole thing's kind of hot garbage. But he does. He's the only guy on the coaching staff that has head coaching experience. He's actually shown that he is capable of making some adjustments, like the Saints game, for instance, though I haven't really seen a whole lot since then. And there were some reports out there during the preseason that he was the one really hollering and screaming that they had to get tougher during the preseason in terms of handling practices, wanting to do more tackling, things like that. I think that's the kind of mindset this team needs right now. Some guy who's a little bit more hard-nosed, a little bit more structured. I think that's what the team needs right now. And then you can let Kellen Moore really run the offense. Because let's face it, we were promised about having all new motion and all this window dressing beforehand. Saw a little bit of it in the preseason. Saw a little bit of it maybe in the first week or two. But we haven't seen anything since. So this tells me that, as I saw before, the CEO thing was a load of baloney to begin with. That Nick Sirianni still has his hands all over this offense. He's still making calls and interrupting calls left and right in big spots. Now he's interrupting the defensive calls. I mean, this whole thing has my head spinning left and right. So that's what I would do if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, but obviously that's not the case.
You also wouldn't be on this show because you'd have so much money you wouldn't need it.
Very true. But no, I would still remember where my roots were. I would still come back on for you.
Oh.
That's how much lucky. I love you, Steve Jones.
How lucky are we? Well, that can't be the only thing on your hit parade. It's obviously based on the stats. Your team didn't play very well yesterday.
No, not at all. Before I get to college football, I do have one baseball note as the Yankees get ready for game one tonight against Cleveland. I don't like him in this series. I may be slightly more confident than maybe I would have been a couple weeks ago if this matchup were the case, but the Yankees offense still is just too inconsistent for me to believe that they can hit that pitching staff, especially that bullpen. They got great defense, too, in Cleveland. I said before the, I thought before the postseason started, my World Series prediction would have been the Dodgers over Cleveland, and I'm going to stick with that. The Dodgers showed that was made a statement win last night too, and showing that they are clearly the
Dodgers,
best team left.
The Dodgers
they dominated the Mets last night.
The Dodgers haven't given up a run in three games.
Yeah, exactly. 33 innings now, which is the MLB postseason record. So there's that too. But the fact that Aaron Boone, he had a couple of days to think about this. You've had a couple of days off. It's been a couple of days since both Clark Schmidt and Carlos Rodon have pitched. But yet, he still thinks that Carlos Rodon is the guy to give the ball to in game one. It's like I'm banging my head against the wall. What gives you any sort of confidence that this guy, for $163 million, has been so inconsistent? I mean, look at his last start. He strikes out the side. Everything looks solid in the first inning, and then he falls apart in the fourth inning, and the Yankees lose that only game of the series. And you're going to give him the ball in game one? I mean, come on, man. Especially the Yankees have a favorable matchup here, one of the most favorable matchups they're going to have in this series in terms of facing the Guardians starting pitching, facing a guy that's got a 9 ERA. And you're going to start him? It's like trying to survive the slugfest week one, which... Or in game one, which I don't think you can go on this offense to try to even come remotely to be consistent about. So if you put Schmidt in there for game one, Garrett Cole game two, there's a chance maybe you could win both your games to start the series before you go for the three-game series out in Cleveland. I just don't understand the thinking behind it once again.
He's your guy.
Neither are my guys, but somehow they
come
made it that far.
Come on, every time I turn around, you're just hating on leadership.
Do the job right, I won't have to hate on you.
Oh, it's just...
Yeah, I have my football team that's 3-2 despite the head coach, and I have my baseball team that somehow won the division and is in the ALCS despite the manager playing eeny, miny, moe with their lineup and pitching staff the whole year. It really is amazing, honestly.
Well, now we get to go on to your next complaint.
That's true. And which is regarding the Penn State game, which was a huge win. Big shout out to Julian Fleming. Those were two clutch catches he made. And he finally makes his Nittany Lion mark right there. That was just clutch and awesome to see for him to come in the clutch there with those two fourth down catches. But the very beginning of the game, I think somebody forgot to mention to Jenny Dell that it really wasn't that big a deal for Penn State's travel plans to get out there. But I'll confirm with you, Steve Jones, because you were on that same trip. You take the bus ride from State College to Harrisburg. You take the flight over to L.A. How was it? Tell me. Was it fine?
Yeah, it was no issue. I mean, everything went the way it should.
Evidently, somebody forgot to tell Jenny Dell that because she acted like this was like the hardest thing for Penn State to get over here, and it was going to affect them in the game. And maybe that's sort of jet lag, but they got out there a day before for a reason so that they can adjust to the time, and they know they had to make the extra bus trip to Harrisburg to get to the airport to fly out to L.A. It's not that big a deal. Enough with this analogy and putting this all out there in the teams that are 1-9, now 2-9 after Penn State wins. Enough already. It's like we didn't know this was going to happen, and guess what? Big Ten teams were already doing this for bowl games and have been successful doing it. Like, enough of pushing this narrative that nobody can make a cross-country trip, please.
Yeah, it's 3-9 now because Minnesota also won.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, they've won. Exactly right. So, enough already. It's not a catastrophe for Penn State. Penn State had to make it an extra bus trip to Harrisburg, which they're used to doing multiple times, and then have to fly out to L.A. Enough.
Well, that's not true, though, because we rarely have to go to Harrisburg. Rarely. Because we're able to fly in and out of here. On a 737, and they took a 757 west. 757 can land here, by the way, because I've been on 757s that have landed here. But taking off from here because of the weight with all the fuel, can't do it. That's why you had to go to Harrisburg. And that's the difference between Penn State and other places. For example, Ohio State goes west. They go to Port of Columbus Airport. It's an international airport. Minnesota went west. They went to Minneapolis-St. Paul. See, Penn State's the only one that has to do the two-hour bus ride to do it, and that's the difference between them. But they got out there, they got acclimated, they were able to work out at SoFi Stadium on Friday. Interesting, Drew Aller had Matthew Stafford's locker. I thought that was kind of cool because Penn State used the Rams' locker room. You get a lot for your $5 billion, I'd like to point out.
Oh, yeah, there you go, as he should, and he played like it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In overtime.
Yeah. Do you feel better?
The point I'm trying to make is, I mean, it's a slight inconvenience to take the bus trip, but the point is, you have, as you point out before all the time, you have so many people in the program that are planning these things out.
Yeah. Do you feel better?
As always, I do. And I thank you for listening.
Todd, were you listening?
A little bit.
There you go. Perfect.
Even a little bit. That's fine.
He speaks for America.
Enough to make a note for the podcast.
I'm a man of people.
Thanks, Matt. You're the best.
Talk to you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventories. You know, I bought Ford. Bought an Explorer. Brand new. 2024. Stanger was great. Yeah, Chris, so easy to deal with. Smart. You know? Pressure? No, wasn't any pressure. At all, zero. Just kind of just work through it together. And then went through the process of financing, and everything worked out exactly the way I needed it to work out, because all they cared about was that it worked out the way I needed it to work out. That's Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and of course a great service department, by the way, where there happens to be inspections, routine, difficult to handle at all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. One thing that was interesting about Saturday were the number of Penn State fans there. I was blown away. Because I knew there'd be a lot of Penn State fans there, and then there was the section to our right in the press box where that was the Penn State section. Okay. Well, everywhere we looked, Jack and I were in the pregame. Jack and I were in the pregame. And the two of us were like, look at all the... Yeah, because the USC fans were wearing Cardinal. All the white shirts out there. And it really was impressive. I mean, it was just impressive, the turnout out there. And, of course, look, we'll take all your calls here. We'll take all your calls here, okay? Whatever comments or questions you have. And Todd's always the one that has to give out the number because, Steve would do it, but Steve doesn't have it memorized.
570-743-9565.
right. You can repeat that one more time.
570-743-9565.
There you go. Perfect. Good. So people want to comment on what they saw or what they didn't see, what they like, what they didn't like. You know, go from there. Drew Aller, career high 391. When you need to make a drive, there's certain points in the season you need to make a drive. And Penn State knew the last time they got the ball in regulation, you know, besides obviously the Hail Mary, you know, at the end, which is just literally a Hail Mary, you know, ended up getting picked off, which, like, to me, stuff like that doesn't count. It counts, but it doesn't count. And you make the throws. Now, Julian Fleming, let's talk about him for a moment. I kidded around with Julian a little bit on Friday. We were in SoFi Stadium. He was on the sideline. I said, well, we're a long way from Catawissa. And he looked at me. He says, Steve, he says, I'm not a Los Angeles big city guy. I said, I know. I said, well, most people, you know, aren't. But, you know, I've talked about this before. I think I've been rather straightforward about what Julian has done to this point. And then, number one, I thought he was up and down during the course of the spring. I think how many times I've said that, right? He was up and down the first week to 10 days of preseason practice. And then everything clicked into gear for him. I think there was a comfort level for him. And he has been outstanding at practice in everything, including attacking the football when he catches it. And then Tuesday last week, he had one of those days. You're like, hey, well, he hadn't done that in a long time. You're like, whatever. He'll be fine. And the rest of the week, he was fine. Wednesday was good. Friday was fine, right? And then he had that drop early in the game. He got called on the first drive or the opening drive. They're going to get a touchdown. That's one of those borderline technically correct ticky-tack calls. But, you know, I think anybody who listens to the game knows that we didn't really say much about the officiating all day at all. I mean, hardly anything, in fact, did we say about the officiating. But then in the fourth quarter when they needed it, you know, I talked about how he's attacked the football. Well, both those catches, he attacked the ball. And I think that just made a big difference in what we saw on that drive. Because when they needed it, both fourth down catches. I mean, those are the winning plays we talk about that Julian Fleming makes. He makes winning plays. Well, on that particular drive, he showed you. This time with catching the football. Winning plays. And Drew just played a tremendous game. You throw for 391. You direct a 75-yard drive in the clutch. You hit the two fourth down passes to Fleming. And then on your third read on your progressions, you find Nick Singleton wide open who runs it in for a touchdown. And even something as simple as how they handled overtime. In overtime, Denai Dennis Sutton gets the big play to just do what you need to do with USC. You need to get them off schedule. Once you get USC off schedule, you can then dictate some things out there. Okay? And they got him off schedule when Denai Dennis Sutton made that play. and then Lance missed the field goal. So now Penn State, first play is a probing play, right? And they didn't get much from Allen, then they didn't get much again. But the third play where Aller ran it, the entire purpose of him running that play, and he was able to gain yards out of it, but he, okay, this is something they work on all the time in this situation, centering the ball. That was in the entire purpose of him running that ball was to center the ball. Well, he centered the ball and gained yards on the play. And then the 36-yard field goal. I mean, Dzanski, Tyler was right on the money with the snap. Riley Thompson right on the money with the hold, and Barker made the kick. So that operation went exactly the way you would hope it would. You know, after the 17-3 lead, the defense only gave up 13 points and only gave up 10 in the second half. And I think I mentioned on the show on, I don't know what day it was, Wednesday?
Yeah, I think Wednesday was our last day.
Right. I thought the third quarter would be the key quarter because USC's been excellent in the third quarter. Penn State's been excellent in the third quarter. Which one would have the better third quarter? And obviously it was Penn State. Penn State didn't give up a first down in the third quarter. Defensively, did not give up a first down in the third quarter. I mean, that's, you know. So, look, they did well with all this. And look, it's a big win. When you're sitting there and you have an opportunity on the road.
Steve Jones Show, this is Todd speaking.
I think Todd's taking a phone call. I think I can tell. All right. And when you have an opportunity like that on the road where in the clutch you have to make some plays. I mean, they made plays in the clutch when they needed it. And remember, and USC got the ball back.
Okay.
And the defense did make a play. Jalen Reed picked off the pass.
Okay. So
they made the plays when they needed to, which was it was great to see. I mean, the tension of the entire game. The tension was phenomenal. And that's why you saw at the end how emotional the players and the sideline happened to be. I mean, they were emotional because every play you needed to make a play. Todd, who do we have, if we have anybody?
We have Doug from Wellsboro.
Hello, Doug. How are you? It's a pleasure to talk with you as always.
Same with you, Steve. So watching your flight coming back, it looked like it was a quick one compared to going out.
Well, it should be because you got the wind behind you. So it was 4:47 out, and they said 4:18 on the way back. So it knocked about a half hour off. And the way back, there were TVs, which really helped. So I watched Ohio State, Oregon. I watched Minnesota, UCLA, and I watched Kansas State, Colorado, even though I'll freely admit I was nodding off a few times in the Kansas State, Colorado game. Starting to get a little tired.
Was it a single 737 you guys came back on?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Did that. And that's why it could land here because, look, what a 757 can land here. I know because I have. That's the type of plane we came back on from the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. But when you're coming back in here, the difference is you've exhausted all the fuel. The plane's lighter, which means you can land it here. Taking off fully fueled, you can't get all the way out there. That's why I had to go to Harrisburg.
Yeah, I have my pilot's license, so I kind of ended up
good.
Kind of stuff.
See, you know.
Yeah.
See, he knows way more than I do.
I've landed at University Park myself quite a few times, but.
Yeah. I mean, the runway is 6,500, 6,600 feet. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have to probably get to, I don't know, 7,500 to be safe, 8,000. Plus, you have to widen it, I think, as well, don't you?
Yeah, at least you'd have to. You'd have to have a safety margin. Even, you know, I don't know if they can buy property off the on each end. I don't even know which way you'd go. So, the question I do have is, when someone like Tyler Warren is going off like that, why didn't Dan Lynn put somebody on him? It didn't have to be the same guy on him, but just someone on him to slow him down. He had a an incredible amount of yardage even after the catch.
Well, number one, he's better than their guys. That's one, simple. But the number two part is Penn State does a great job of giving you so many looks that you're not sure where he is sometimes. I mean, let's just start with the touchdown play. You lined him up at center. Now, you're the USC defense. Do you think Tyler Warren's lining up at center?
Right.
And that's part of what they do, is that they give you so many looks that you have to spend part of your time figuring out where he is. Is he a fullback? Is he an H-back? Is he up on the line of scrimmage? Is he split out? Is he in the slot? I mean, where is he? Plus, they'll take him and they'll put him in motion, which, you know, I just think there are times where he's hard to find. But remember, too, there are two elements when you have a man that size playing tight end. One, he's too fast for a linebacker. Two, he's too big for a safety.
No, you're right. I guess the lining up and the motion, the scheme is part of the secret sauce to his success, I guess.
Well, plus his own natural talent, too, which is, I mean, he is just a very, very talented player who's very instinctive, because when you watch him play, his feel for the game, his feel for coverages, his feel for spots on the field that are open, his feel for the game is a big part of what his success happens to be. The way he uses his body, that's the other part. The way he uses the touchdown play, the way he used his body was like watching a power forward go after a rebound.
Wasn't he a quarterback in high school?
He was a quarterback in high school. And yes, he did throw for 1,100 yards his senior year. But yes, he was a quarterback in high school.
Okay. My second question, what did you and Jack see as far as, like, tackling on the defense? Or I know USC has athletes, and I know Lincoln Riley has, you know, nice play calling, things like that. Tony Rojas missed the guy on that reverse. Mm-hmm. Was the tackling okay? Was it just people missing tackles, not in the right place? What did you guys think?
Tackling got better as the game went along. That's why they only gave up 13 points over the last, you know, 2.5 quarters. But on the reverse, for example, everybody went with the flow to USC's right, and then Joyner came back. And as soon as he got the ball, as soon as Joyner got the ball, he was still in the backfield, Doug. You know, because we have a wide view of the field. The two of us looked at each other like, uh-oh, because there was nobody over there.
Yeah.
And like, oh, brother. Now, could the tackling have been better earlier in the game? Yes. Once they got going, the tackling then became pretty good as the game went, especially on Woody Marks. You notice Marks, once Marks had a good first half, Marks did not have a good second half. And in fact, the biggest play he had in the game was when he improvised. It was supposed to be a throwback to Moss. And Penn State blew it up. They had guys all over the place. So Marks just, okay, he just kept it himself, and he circled back. And when he circled back, he was able to gain 28 yards, and that set up a touchdown. Those are the two biggest plays of the day for USC, the 75-yard run, which was a touchdown, the 28-yard run, which set up a touchdown that was completely improvised off of what was supposed to be a trick play.
Last question. The roughing the passer call on Drew, if you touch the quarterback's legs, anything like that, is that an automatic? Is there some discretion there?
Yeah, no. If you cut the legs on the quarterback, it's roughing the passer. All right,
that was kind of thought too.
Right, that was the issue because you know, it wasn't like he went for the legs, but when you hit the legs, the knees down there, it then becomes an automatic.
I knew in the pros it was like that. I wasn't sure quite what the college rule was or interpretation was.
Yeah, it's the same thing, and it's just all about safety. It's not about anything other than that.
Did we get anything souvenirs back from L.A.?
Me? No.
Yeah.
No, I've been done.
Did you do the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
No. I had lunch with Tony Knopp. At Fleming's on Friday, and then I took Roger, Jack, Bob, and Brian out to dinner at Mastro's on Friday night. That was the extent of my but no souvenirs, no.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call again, guys.
Anytime. Thanks, Doug. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. I was asked today on the show about, do I have a spotter that helps me keep track of where Warren is at all times? I said, no, I don't have a spotter. I said, every mistake I make is mine. So, I mean, you do have to keep track of where he is all the time. But I'm also around and I see enough. So,
did you find him at center on that play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, because, I mean, that's not the first time. See, it's the first time the fans have seen the play.
Well, that's true.
It's not the first time I've seen the play. Okay. In fact, when they put the play in, I don't know how long ago it was. Maybe it could have been in the preseason late or whatever. When they ran it, Ben Chismar, one of the walk-ons, blew it up. You're like, whoa, because he read it. And so Andy went back and said, look, wait, maybe we have to make a couple of changes here on this. And that's what they did. He made a couple of subtle changes to it as to how they did it. Remember, Warren, I think people forget, Warren snapped the ball as an eligible receiver for the two-point conversion against Michigan last year. Okay. And Drew was a little late getting the ball to him because he was actually open. Not wide open, but was open. It was just a little late getting it to him. But he actually did snap it last year on a two-point conversion against Michigan. But yeah, I saw it. And I mean, when they lined up, I mean, I pretty much knew what they wanted to do with it. Let's just see how it plays out, you know what I mean? And played out pretty well.
I would say it worked well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because what he did was, when they shifted, he kind of ducked down behind people. Then he got over the ball. You're listening to...